Destination, freedom. Destination, freedom. Dramatizations of the great democratic traditions of the Negro people is brought to you by station WMAQ as a part of the pageant of history and of America's own Destination Freedom. In the field of sports, the toughest place to carve an enduring niche is in the granite face of the boxing profession. Yet the saga of master athletes in the squared circle reads like fairy tales and reveals the nature of the society which they entertain. Such is the young life of one of pugilism's modern immortals, Ray Robinson, world's welterweight champion. In a chapter entitled Premonition of the Panther, we bring you the fighter's story.
I had 2 days to kill and 6 pounds to lose before the fight. They say I'm cool and controlled, but the dreams, I can't control. This one began like 1,000 others. The bell sounded, the crowd growled. I whirled out of my corner and over to my opponent. His face telegraphed his punches and I moved back. Slipped two fast left hooks under his heart, hammered my right cross to his head. And when he ducked, I shot a bolo blow that spun him around like a compass without a pole. And he slammed into my arms in a clinch. And for a second, I looked dead into his eyes and saw his soul. Then he hit the canvas and the referee was counting.
Seven.
I watched the ref's arm rise and fall. And the lights in the stadium went out. The referee counted past 10, stopped at 13. And I tried to yell out, no, no, don't stop there.
I've got to stop. Dead.
Dead? Who killed him?
I didn't want an answer. My fists, body, feet, arms, legs felt guilty. But he turned his eyes and stared at the crowd. Then he knelt beside the stricken fighter. I bent down and tried to lift the head of the fighter. And I cried as I looked into his wide eyes. And this time I was looking at myself. I cried, get up! Get up! Oh, Lord, let him get up! I tried to touch him, but someone shook me.
Ray.
Huh?
Wake up, Ray.
Huh?
Ray!
Huh? Is he dead?
Dead? What are you talking about?
I dreamed I hit Doyle.
You'll hit him day after tomorrow if you make the weight.
Oh, seriously,
oh,
George.
Oh, sure. You're always dreaming. Now, come on, get up. Get on the scales, huh? 153. Hey, Mike. Mike, bring the jump rope, huh?
Coming up, George. Coming up.
George was my trainer. Mike was my second.
Here's your rope, Ray. You all right?
I dreamed I killed.
That's the spirit. Shows you in condition.
All right. Cut the gab. This is business, and it's serious. Ray, you got 7 pounds to lose in 2 days. But there's no guarantee you'll be strong enough to whip Doyle if you do. We forfeit the 50,000 if we don't. Maybe the title.
I'll make the weight.
I'd rather you didn't take the chance.
I'll make it.
Okay. You know the routine. Better get on the rope first. Hey, wrap that sweater around the mic. All right, set. I'll keep time. Go ahead.
I got on the rope. Pushed the dream back down. Felt the breeze as the rope churned the air, my muscles moving to my trainer's time. And I kept pushing the dream back down into my mind, and I allowed others to come. I thought of a Detroit dance school 12 years back where my legs moved to the rhythm of another timekeeper.
All right, Ray. Madame Smith, your son is a natural. With such form. Simply exquisite.
Then he'll really be a dancer.
Maybe, but one of the best. And if I were you, I would see that he gets ballet after this class. It helps his poise, you know.
Isn't that very expensive?
Oui. But he's worth it. Such natural talent.
And my body reveled in dancing, and whenever I dreamed, images of dancers came out of my subconscious, and my mother thought truly this was the way.
To glory, to the kingdom of heaven on earth, to being gentle, like Jesus. Not a ruffian and a clowder, like that big boy next door. You go to your ballet classes. Let him go to his boxing ring.
But once I followed the big boy who lived next door to his gym and stared at his mighty biceps and sloping shoulders as the trainer called him.
All right, step in the ring, spy around a while.
I saw his slow, liquid movements as he climbed into the ring.
Hey!
I saw him hide his chin under his shoulder, glide toward a second boxer in the ring, and in a move so quick my eyes couldn't follow, he whipped his body behind a blow and sent the boxer to the floor.
Ah, what'd I tell you? What'd I tell you? The power of the Lord's in that right hand. That's the Lord's thunder that'll carry you to glory, boy, right to glory.
I'd never seen anything like it. Out on the street, I waited until the big boy came out carrying a utility bag.
Hello, kid. How's things?
Fine. Say, you sure had a workout, huh? You mind if I carry your bag?
Didn't your mom tell you to stay away from me?
Yeah, but she didn't say anything about your bag. Please, come on, please.
Okay, kid. Take it.
I took it as though it were a bag of gold. A pair of faded blue trunks, skipping rope, bandages, old gloves, that was all it held. But for the big boy, it was glory. And it transformed my desires, and I wanted to learn to weave and bob instead of waltz or pirouette.
Walker!
Better give me this bag. Your ma sees you walking with me.
Walker!
Yes, ma'am. So long, Joe, so long.
See you later, kid.
He went next door. My mother caught me, swung me around. Ma, I just held his bag.
You held the devil's bag? Everybody on this street knows that big boy, that Joe Lewis, will never amount to anything. Now, you keep away from him.
I will.
I know you will, because we won't be around him much longer.
Where are we going?
New York. I waited a long time for your father to come back. Seems like he never will. Well, we've got to look for a home. I can't make it here. We're going to try New York.
New York?
Yes, son. They tell me New York's quite the place for dancers.
She was right. It was. It was also the place where she bent over a washboard, washing clothes to pay rent, food, light and gas bills, and for my dancing lessons.
Who's that?
Me, Ma.
Well, the teacher sent you to dance in the Kenya Club. How'd they like you?
Oh, fine. Here, made $2. Here you go.
Well, go on upstairs to bed. Get some rest. I've got to finish this laundry.
Ma, can't you quit it?
Who'll keep us going?
Me. I'll go out and do anything. Just stop washing.
Oh, I don't mind, son. What you could make now wouldn't be worth you giving up your chances for dancing. Nothing in the world's beautiful as dancing. Well, I'll finish before daybreak. You get some sleep.
I was her dream. The dream she kept alive behind mountains of clothes as she watched me dancing. But one evening a shadow fell across the dream.
What do you know, kid?
Hey, Joe! Hey, Ma, look who's here! Joe, come on in, fella. Yeah, boy, you're looking good. Come on in, sit down. How you been? Hey, Ma, look who's here. Look.
Good evening, Joe.
Evening, Miss Smith. Ma said for me to look you up.
What you here for?
Well, I'm fighting.
Fighting?
Didn't you read the papers, Ma? Joe's fighting the ex-heavy champ, Primo Canera. Hey, look here. Here's this picture right on the same page with Henry Armstrong.
Henry Armstrong? Huh. You're picking up some strange idols for dancing.
Well, Joe grew up with us. Hey, stay for dinner, Joe, huh?
Can't. Got to go down in the garden and weigh in. Here's 2 tickets for the fight. Maybe y'all like to come up.
Oh, sure. Thanks.
Walker?
Well, maybe I won't have time. Keep them, Joe.
Okay. I'll tell Ma I saw you. So long.
I'll walk downstairs with you, Joe. I'll be right back, Ma. Hey, Joe.
Huh?
Can I carry your bag? Huh?
Sure, kid. Take it.
I took the magic bag again. I went to the garden and saw the big boy empty its contents and put on the scanty armor of the prize fighter. And I sat by ringside when he manipulated a giant of a fighter as I'd seen him do in the gym. I saw him throw the full weight of his body behind a punch, and the giant collapsed.
The winner by a knockout, Joe Lewis.
I waited around to touch the magic bag again. I got more than the touch.
You'll keep the bag, kid. I'm buying new tall.
Oh, what can I put in it?
Anything that'll fit. See you later, kid.
Oh, thanks, Joe. I slipped the bag into the house, hid it under my bed, sneaked it out in the mornings, filled it with dancing togs, shoes, pants. But the magic was missing. There was only one way to put it back again. I took it to the coach down at the Salem Crescent Boxing Gym.
Nice bag you got, kid. But you know how to use what's in it?
Bring out one of your boys. I'll show you.
Cocky, anyhow. Hey, Mike. What do you know about this kid?
I don't know. Give him a rope. Let's see his footwork. Here, boy.
Yes, sir.
Fast and fancy. Fast and fancy. Skipping ropes never knocked out anybody. Heart, nerve, guts, drive, daring, confidence, and skills needed. I only train the best amateurs. How do I know you're worth it? You weigh 110 and you're tall and skinny as a rail. Besides, I already got one skeleton I'm using on tonight's card, and he's good.
George.
Yeah?
You better take this kid. Your regular skeleton's got a cold. You might need a sub.
Well, like I was saying, I'll give anybody a chance to commit suicide at least once. Here's your chance.
When?
We're out of Waterford Arena tonight at 8. I might need you. Be sure to bring your license with you.
License?
You can't fight without it. If you haven't got it yet, here's $3 to pay down on it. Now go on over to the commissioner's. You're 18, aren't you?
Well...
Now, if you're not, forget it. Here you go. Commissioner's strict about that age.
Very strict.
I stood there lost. I wasn't 18. My mother would never consent. I had to get 2 extra years and a license. I found them both.
I could let you use my license in my name, only it's against the rules.
I found a young fighter who wasn't fighting that week.
It's a deal. On one condition.
Yeah.
You'll be using my name. When you get in that ring, don't louse up my good reputation, Jack. And when the bell rings, come out fight.
That night I was waiting for the bell, shivering in my corner. My coach put his lips to my ear.
All right, baby, now control yourself. This guy you're fighting is AAU champ. Plenty strong. If he's too rough, lay down. Take a fall. You understand?
I understood. The AAU champ stood across a stretch of white canvas that seemed as wide as the Sahara. I stumbled out of my corner and caught a sledgehammer blow to my face that made my head blaze. More blows hit into my body, and all I could see were the blazing lights above me. But soon my legs began to bounce, rock, dance, and step as though they had eyes of their own. My fists began to punch like pistols, driving, slashing, hooking, crossing back and forth, until they felt like lead, too heavy for me to lift again. And then someone else was lifting me.
The winner! By decision, Ray Robinson.
I heard the referee call an unfamiliar name.
Ray Robinson.
All right, that's you, fool. Acknowledge it.
I bowed in the daze. I forgot my borrowed name. My trainer threw a borrowed robe around my shoulder, and newspaper men on the ringside asked,
Hey, where'd you get the new board game for?
Yeah, how about us?
Yeah, what do you guys think of him, huh?
Sweet as sugar.
Sweet fighter there, real sugar.
Yeah, he's sweet, all right, but he's got a bitter pill in his left hand, huh?
I hardly knew what they were talking about. Neither did Mom, who read the morning paper.
More boys going into boxing.
Is that right?
Right here in the Times it says, Last night, a new boxer of exceptional promise was discovered at Waterford Arena. Reporters named him Sugar. They predict that Sugar will be the most outstanding fighter in the East. Oh, what a pity. When all the world needs gentle people, they train panthers. Well, at least when you dance, you can make them forget fighters, won't you? Are you listening, son?
Oh, yeah, Mom, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Entirely too much violence in this world. Why, if we don't watch out...
But I was already making the predictions come true. Confidence was filling my magic bag, and one night when my fist thundered into a fighter, he rolled over in the rosin and lay dead still. I trembled in my dressing room. I was scared, stiff, waiting. What's the matter with him?
You put a 60-mile-a-minute blow on his head.
Yeah, but is he...
He's out, that's all. Oh. He'll come to you. Well, that was your first knockout. How do you feel?
I felt queer. There was something haunting about the power that flowed into my veins and warmed my blood when I knew I could snap men into darkness with a flick of my fist.
But that was just the beginning.
Gee whiz. Just look at that record. Look at that record. Not a single defeat.
I know.
You knocked out every man you faced. No wonder the tycoon wants a manager.
What for?
Well, look, you can burn yourself out in amateur and never earn a dime.
Oh, I'm earning.
Oh, sure, sure. You picked up a few bucks in bootleg fights. But the real those were the pros. What's the matter? You're not still thinking of dancing, are you?
Oh, no.
Well, come on up to the penthouse and see the tycoon. He can get you fights you'd never get on your own. He'll start you on the road to the championship. You coming?
Sure, George. I haven't been to see Mom in weeks. She thinks I'm on the road dancing. I got something for her.
Yeah, I knew you'd been saving it. Well, if you get away tonight, come on up to the tycoon's penthouse on Broadway. See you later, chap.
A little later, I was opening the door of Mom's place. She was bent over a tub. I touched her. Mom, you can send that washing back where it came from.
Yes?
Here, look at this. Count it. 1, 2, 3. Oh, I've already counted it. $3,000.
Where'd you get it?
I earned it.
Dancing?
Oh, Mom, listen.
I thought I'd named you Walker Smith.
Well, sure, but...
Wasn't that good enough for a dancer?
Well, let me explain.
You don't need to lie.
Well, Mom...
I know. I saw a picture in the paper of an outstanding bloody prize fighter. He had your face. He had another name. Ray Robinson. It was you.
Mom...
Get out of here!
Listen, Mom, I meant to tell you. I couldn't see any other way of getting anything for a long, long time. Look, I saw fighters like Henry Armstrong, Joe Louis, making a night what no poor man makes in a lifetime. Fighting? Well, I like fighting.
Savage.
But you don't understand.
Get out of here.
Mom, don't. Listen to me.
Get out. And here. Take your bloody money with you. Here. Take it all.
White snow was falling. The green bills made queer patterns blowing about in the wind. I got down on my knees and gathered up all I could. I stuck them under the door. Then I faced the blowing snow, walked a long way to Broadway, found the tycoon's penthouse.
Come in, my man. We've been waiting for you. Middlebury, pour Mr. Robinson a drink, please.
Yes, sir. No, thanks. I don't drink.
Endangers your amateur standing, of course. Well, then let your trainer have one for you. Mr. Gainsford, help yourself.
Yeah, thanks.
Now we can conclude our deal for the services of this young panther. Stand out there where I can see you. You were the notorious Sugar. Never lost a fight.
I don't believe I know you, Mr.
It's not important that you know me. It's only important that I know you. And I'm willing to buy you.
Who said I was for sale?
Of course you're for sale. Everything for sale depends on the price.
Now, Sugar, he just means your boxing contract.
Exactly. Huh? Now, I suppose you're curious as to why a man of my position would want you.
Would want my contract.
Well, it's all the same. You see, big game hunting happens to be my hobby. Look on the walls there.
Yeah.
A tiger I bagged in Bengal. And that elephant from Ceylon. Here's a python. A gorilla. A leopard. Lions from Africa.
Where do I fit in?
Now, on the other wall, you see my hunting guns. The best rifles, pistols, and shotguns.
Yeah.
Well, to put it bluntly, I'm seeking another kind of game. Men. Specifically, prize fighters. For that, I need a weapon. The best. You can punch, they say, faster and sharper than any man living or dead. You are such a weapon.
Hey, George, I don't like this guy.
Oh, my dear Sugar, affection doesn't matter. Now, in return for bringing me certain victories, mostly by knockout... I will assure you that no boxing club in the country will bar you. You will have clear channel to the title. As long, of course, as you bring in victories. I must have excitement. Boredom kills me.
Remember, sir, what the doctor said about your heart.
Oh, forget the silly old heart. I want to talk business with these men. You'll sign, of course you will. Now, there's a certain blow you use, young man.
Huh?
A sort of slashing, looping uppercut I especially
like. You mean
like.
The bolo, so like the bolo.
I love it, I love it. Use it in your next fight.
Huh?
For I must have excitement, and nothing excites me as much as blood.
Blood.
I'll want to have action, action, and plenty of action. None of your tame stuff. Give me blood.
So I entered the gilded gate of the profession. With my peculiar pilot always occupying two ringside seats and pounding his fist in fury throughout my bouts. And while I was throwing punches in the ring, I could hear his shout above the crowd.
Harder, sugar! Harder! Hit him harder!
I often dreamed of his pounding fist until the night in June after a fight when we went to his penthouse to negotiate a new contract.
An excellent performance tonight, my panther. Excellent. You know, I haven't had as much excitement since I hunted the wild buffalo in Mozambique.
Mm.
You know, we'll discuss the future contract. But what blood you drew tonight. What arm... Middlebury!
He suddenly staggered and slumped with his head striking the tusk of his stuffed Ceylon elephant.
Maybe we can take up the contract another time, huh?
Gentlemen. You've lost your contract. Mr. Dumbarton is dead.
I suppose we'll look for another manager, Sugar.
Another manager may be like the last. Better or worse, managers don't share the danger, but they share too much of your purse. If I go on, I intend to keep some of the fruit.
Good. Let's climb together.
And from Buffalo to Cleveland, we climbed in the ring together. In Pennsylvania, Illinois, Ohio, Indiana, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Florida, we kept on the trail of the welterweight title. Tracked it down through 40 fights in a dozen states. I kept on the trail, climbing up the ladder until I took the welterweight title. And as I climbed, I met many of my idols on the way down.
Sugar, a gentleman here to see you.
George brought one to my apartment.
I'm Henry Armstrong. You remember me?
You know I do.
My manager's been trying to get
me. And I turned you down because I can't stand fighting you. My friend, I couldn't do it.
Listen, Sugar, the newspapers
I don't care what the newspapers say. Since I was a kid in dancing school, I looked up to Henry Armstrong as my idol. I don't want to help tear him down.
Ray.
Yeah, Henry, yeah.
Do you think I want to fight you, kid? Don't you think I want to see you going up there and stay up there?
But
why'd I come here begging for you to fight me? Why, the way you punch a man who's not in condition could get killed. Why do I ask? Because I'm busted, kid. Because I need the money. This is the only way I know how to get it. Don't ask me what happened to Madeau, who got it. The gamblers, the promoters, the racketeers, the managers. Don't ask me. A fight with you will draw plenty. Enough maybe to help me get started again. Will you fight me, pal?
I fought him. I beat him. I kept clear of the gamblers and kept climbing, looking for middleweights, catching their 170 pounds in the crisscross of my lefts and rights, listening to my trainer from the corner, learning to outspeed and outpunch the bigger ones, scale myself down to make the weight for the lighter boys.
Next fight's a welterweight, Ray.
Yeah, what's his name?
Usually you don't even bother.
What's his name?
Kid named Doyle from out in Los Angeles.
Doyle.
Fat. Got a good record. Now, listen, the commissioner made us put a 50,000 guarantee. I don't think you can make the weight.
Don't I always make it?
Yeah, you make it. Someday you'll weaken yourself too much. You're 10 pounds over the limit now.
Yeah.
And Mike,
yeah.
Get out the ropes and the sweatshirt. We're going to take some pounds off this panther.
Okay.
So the ordeal of trimming down to the strict 147-pound limit was on again. I skipped until I felt sweat washing my torso, and I kept pushing back into my brain the dream I'd had that morning. But every hour, when I stepped on the scale, I had trouble keeping that dream away from me.
You're still 4 pounds over.
Mm.
You better get what's in your mind out, Sugar. We only got one day to go.
Oh, I can lose it. Send Mike out after the gum. Get some lemons, talcum powder, some salsa magnesia.
Okay, you hear that, Mike?
Yeah.
The gum was for chewing all day and spitting out all the saliva that came up. The lemon was to dry me out. The talcum powder was to be rubbed along my shanks while George's fingers hunted down any excess ounces of fat. The salsa magnesia was to drink before lying down and sleeping 10 hours and hoping that on the day of weighing in, when I came into the boxing commissioner's office at 12 noon, those scales would bear me out. When I got there, I saw the boxer I was to fight. He was grinning at me kind of self-consciously. He stepped on the scales.
Ah, Doyle, you're under the wire. 146 even. How about you, Robinson?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Ah. Well, now, let me see here. Almost. Oh, no. You're on the head. Okay, fellas. Listen, man, be in the stadium at 8 p.m. The fight's on.
I had 8 hours to eat beef broth and steak, gain my strength and bearing, and at 3, I lay tossing about on my hotel bed, afraid to sleep.
Look, Sugar, if there's anything wrong, we can cancel.
I just don't want to sleep.
You gotta rest.
I was thinking about that dream.
Oh, that kid looks as healthy as an ox. You see his biceps?
Yeah.
You took off 6 pounds in 2 days, and you're worried about hurting him.
Oh, that dream.
Oh, Sugar, go to sleep.
It was 3 o'clock. My habit of sleeping 3 hours before a fight caught up with me. And I had that dream again. It was 8 o'clock. The stadium was packed. I heard the fight bell and the crowd's growl. I whirled out of my corner, saw Doyle's tense face telegraph his punches, and I slipped 2 fast left hooks under his heart, hammered my right home to his head. When he ducked, slashed him with a bolo blow that spun him like a compass without a pole. He clenched, and for an instant I was looking into his startled eyes, so deep I could see my own soul. He slipped from my grip and hit the canvas.
6.
I knew I was dreaming. 7. I dreamed the same 8. Thing twice before. 9. But this time...
10.
This time the referee stopped at 10, not 13. This time it wasn't a dream. This time my opponent's handlers jumped through the ropes and took him out of the ring. I fought my way to Doyle's dressing room.
Are you Sugar Ray?
The doctor looked at me for a long time and at my fists.
I'm afraid he's hurt.
How much?
All the way. Cerebral hemorrhage. I'd say in a few hours, you'll be dead.
I put my arms around his bruised face, kissed him, and for the first time in my life wept without shame. Not only for him, but for myself. For my fellow fighters, fallen, stricken, climbing the ladder, trying to cut their niche in a blood and leather world. And when I swore I'd quit, a wiser, older trainer shook his head.
Nah, you won't quit. I'll tell you why. You belong to the crowds out there. They're your brothers. You're the keeper of their savagery and their fighting skill. You're the weapon they hunt with, Sugar. There's no quitting.
He was right. I was made up of everything the crowd needed and screamed for. They had become my manager. Maybe if another kind of crowd had molded me, had let me carry their magic bag, I would have been what Mrs. Smith wanted. But my crowd pays off to the Panthers that climb the ladder without rungs, the prize fight game. And they like to see their Panthers sharpen their claws. That is what I found when I threw away my dancing shoes for Joe Louis' magic bag.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of Premonition of the Panther. The story of welterweight champion Ray Robinson. Destination Freedom, produced by Homer Heck, is written by Richard Durham and directed by Dick Loughran. The role of Ray Robinson was played by Oscar Brown, Jr. Others in the cast were Weslin Tilton, Dean Almquist, Fred Pinkard, Jess Pugh, and Russ Reed. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Elwin Owen and Jose Bethencourt. Our technician was Gary DeVlieg. Sound effects were by Cliff Mueller and Dave Squires. This is Charles Martin inviting you to join us again next week when Destination Freedom will tell the story of Lonnie Johnson, famed folk guitarist. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.